The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidelon.
Hello, how we doing?
Live from Bar Canada here in downtown Las Vegas at the D. What's happening?
Not much, man. Looks like they're the hardest working casino folks in town are at it again.
Yeah.
So many slot machines being replaced and fixed. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's incredible. Well, just improving the D by the day.
That's right.
That's what they're doing. Everything goes down after we get off the air, 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That was the case yesterday. Nothing but NFL free agency talk here at the top. Still to come, though, of course, today. We must talk college hoops as a bevy of tournaments begin today. Now we're talking. Kai McKeon from Three Man Weave will join us to do that. Paul Carr on the Champions League. Drew Dinsick will talk free agency, NBA. We'll also talk tennis. Novak Djokovic lost to something named Luca Nardi last night.
I was typing up those odds this morning. I'm like, where did Djokovic go?
I don't even know what I was watching. This might be between his two matches.
What was dude's name?
Luca Nardi.
Sure. Yeah, obviously.
He gave up a set to Alexander Vukic the match before. This could be the beginning of the slow aging decline.
Wow. Okay.
We'll see.
You don't just stroll into Indian Wells and knock off Luca Nardi.
You really don't. Luca Nardi lost the 462nd player in the world 3 weeks ago.
Jeez.
Point that up. All right. We'll get into all that. Kirk Cousins. Let us start there. Falcons, as was expected. But it's one of those things where even though you know it's coming, then once you see it in print, you're like, oh boy, here we go. 4 years, $180 million, $100 million of which are guaranteed. Good for Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, is simply a financial genius. $331.7 million guaranteed through his career. One playoff win, $331.7 million now guaranteed. Only Aaron Rodgers has higher career earnings per over the cap. Only Aaron Rodgers.
That's incredible. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
And by the way,
Hall of Fame of offseason quarterbacks. Let's go.
Both suffered Achilles injuries. One handled it with far more grace than the other. Kirk Cousins is the one who handled it with far more grace. And just again, just memory lane of Kirk Cousins. Drafted in the fourth round by Washington back in 2012. The same draft that the Skins drafted RG3. In the first round with, and RG3 was the rookie of the year, and he was great until he had injuries. And Kirk Cousins, it was a very curious pick in that same draft. And Kirk Cousins was historically, it was a turnover machine early in his career to a historical pace. And then in the middle of the 2015 season, week 7, Washington's playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They trail 24-0, and Cousins leads the Skins back. And that was the you like that game where Cousins defiantly screaming that after the game to anyone who was within earshot. And it completely flipped his career on a dime. And what ended up happening after that is then he, because Daniel Snyder refused to give him a long-term deal because, you know, he was all about RG3, still hoping on that. After the rookie deal, Cousins $20 million in 2016, $24 million the next year in D.C. It would have been north of 30, close to 40 if they had done another one-year deal on a franchise. Instead, long-term deal, 3 years, $84 million with the Vikings. And I remember at the time saying to folks, hey, look, Minnesota's going to go through the exact same thing that all of us in Washington did, which is the conundrum that is Kirk Cousins. And what does that mean? That means that when Kirk Cousins, when Washington was deciding and the fans were debating, do you keep this guy, do you not? It gets back to the old thing, Kelly, of you win on a quarterback overperforming a rookie deal or a guy who goes to the Hall of Fame. Now, Kirk Cousins may end up in the Hall of Fame because the counting stats will be there perhaps at the end. But Washington fans were divided in one of two camps, right? There's the guy that throws for 4,000 yards a year. And in D.C., he had his greatest year ever. In 2016, where he almost threw for 5,000. He threw over 4,900 yards that year. But since then, 4,093, 4,298 once he got to Minnesota. He's only had 2 years, one of which was this past year where he suffered the Achilles injury, where he hasn't thrown for over 4,000. There's that camp, which is like, well, of course you got to keep Kirk Cousins. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and what's the alternative? Of course you keep him. And then there's the other crowd that's like, well, you'll never win a Super Bowl with this guy because let's just take QBR, which is scored out of 100. Here's Kirk Cousins' QBRs since that 2016 season when he threw for almost 5,000 yards. 56.2, 59.5, 60.4, 55.8, 58.3, 52.3. Last year, the exception before the injury, 63.2. Still, though, it depends what lens through which you view a guy like Kirk Cousins. Nonetheless, the Falcons have him stacked on offense with the likes of Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and of course, Kyle Pitts. They become the instant favorite. They were already the short shot in the AFC South, but now they're in minus money. They're minus 115. That adjusted from plus 130 to win the NFC South. And I guess I say to you, Kelly, here's the thing. So the Vikings fans are having the exact same debate as Washington fans are. Kirk Cousins have managed to not only make tons of money, second most to Aaron Rodgers throughout a career, he managed to be beloved by two fan bases. I don't think there's anyone in D.C. or Minnesota who doesn't love the guy. There is that debate, though. Like, could he have ultimately brought you to a Super Bowl? Could you, or was this just going to be a guy who accumulated stats and failed in the biggest situation? That was always going to be the debate. I think both fan bases have that. Now he goes to Atlanta, where it's in a bad division. So the Falcons' thinking is, this is the dude that's going to win us the division. Poor quarterback play last year between Heinicke and Ritter. We'll get a home playoff game because we'll win the division. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks have something to say about this, I get. But we'll win the division. We'll get a home playoff game. Then all we're asking this dude is to win two, ideally, if not three, two, let's say, games in the postseason to get us to a Super Bowl. That's the calculus.
Yeah.
Can they do it, or is this just they'll win the division and they'll fizzle out in the playoffs?
I mean, probably the latter, but, you know, it's still, it's March 12th. There's still an offseason to go here of what other moves could happen. So I think that will clear itself out, but the NFC is still not overly strong. So you're right. You put yourself in a position where you are the absolute favorite in that division, and I don't even think, like, the Bucks, I was the guy last summer. I was like, yeah, this Bucks team might not be so bad. Okay, they definitely, you know, over-exceeded what I thought they were going to do last year. But then I think we're probably a little too high on them going into this year, even with those guys coming back. Like, Baker Mayfield, I think we went from down too low on to now we're too high on.
Looking for a job in a league to a nine-figure contract.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, I love the move by the Falcons. You know, I all I can think about yesterday, Gil, was, you know, they sure had a lot of money left over from that time they just went out to go get Deshaun Watson, then couldn't get him in there to Atlanta. So they had that money left over. Love the move by Atlanta. I'm still a little surprised he didn't end up back in Minnesota just because of the I hear what you're saying with the quarterbacks, and I don't think anybody has an answer with Kirk Cousins on that of what kind of guy is he exactly.
It's the Kirk Cousins conundrum.
Exactly. But yeah, the part I'm surprised about is because of what they're dealing with Justin Jefferson, and you're trying to convince this guy to stay there long term. Man, it sure seemed like it worked really well with Kirk Cousins, so surprised they weren't able to figure out something just from that standpoint.
Well, and to my point about, you know, Washington has looked for a quarterback ever since, really, since Kirk Cousins, one that they could hang their hat on. The Vikings begin that phase, perhaps, of their franchise history with Sam Darnold,
yeah,
it looks like now. The Vikings go from plus 450 to win the NFC North down to plus 650. The Vikings also, this morning, in case you missed it, Adam Schefter reporting that Aaron Jones, after the Packers did him dirty,
yeah, I love that,
and signed Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones is going to sign with the rival Vikings, one-year deal, per Adam Schefter this morning. That hasn't been signed yet, but that's what's being reported. So, you know, that was a bigger carousel yesterday where the running backs...
Running backs were nuts yesterday.
And we talked about this, how there were so many available. Josh Jacobs gets the biggest deal of the bunch. 4 years, $48 million to go to Green Bay. Saquon Barkley, the biggest name of the bunch, and perhaps the most consequential, at least in terms of moving odds. 3 year, $37.7 million deal with the Eagles. By the way, do the Eagles have a salary cap? They get anybody they want any year.
They just don't have a defense.
they got Bryce Huff yesterday, though, also in free agency. DeAndre Swift, 3 years, $24 million to the Bears. Tony Pollard, 3 years, $24 million to the Titans, in case you missed that move. Then the Giants, curiously, replacing Saquon with Devin Singletary, 3 years, $16.5 million. And if you want to go further down the list, Antonio Gibson to New England, 3 years, 11.3. Austin Eckler to Washington, because that's what the Skins do. We get running backs that are washed. Sorry. And then the Chargers, Gus Edwards goes from Harbaugh to Harbaugh. 2 years, $6.5 million.
Eckler's been good still. I mean, he might be washed as soon as he steps on the field for Washington, but...
Well, any excitement was tempered by the fact that, I don't know, was he dinged up at this point? Like, That's sort of the reaction there. There were other moves. I mean, it was everywhere. Gardner Minshew to the Raiders. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see Darnold going to the Vikings, certainly. I didn't see Gardner Minshew going to the Raiders.
Do either one of those moves move the needle for you, though?
They do. Well, they move it downwards for sure. With Minshew, I don't know. Like, he just always seems like he's on the doorstep of doing something. Yeah. I know a lot of people can't stand him. I'm not in that group.
I'm not in that group.
I think he's
either.
Okay.
I just think the Raiders, who already weren't great with Derek Carr, have somehow gone incrementally worse at quarterback every year.
Oh, yeah. That's very true. Let's see if Gardner Minshew, at least in the case, he won't look exactly like Derek Carr, like Aiden O'Connell did with the same number and the same stature.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
and
at
then
least that.
Justin Fields still looking for a chair in the game of musical chairs.
You know, with the running backs, I'm wondering how much Derrick Henry was like, whoa, I didn't think there was going to be this much interest. Let's pull back and wait here.
We'll talk about more division odds moves coming up later in the show with all of these moves. Free agency week, man. There'll be more to come today. Yeah. Drew Dinsick on the other side. His thoughts on the NFL, Djokovic, the NBA. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready for the ultimate slam dunk. Download the free VSiN College Basketball Betting Primer. Get full VSiN Pro access until March 17th. This primer will have tournament betting tips and trends for every round, plus strategies for brackets and betting futures. Bet the tournament smarter this year. Download the free Men's College Basketball Betting Primer now and get free VSiN Pro access to everything we do through March 17th at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. And, of course, we'll have Kai McKeon from Three-Man Weave coming up to talk all college basketball tournaments. And with so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Drew Dinsick joins us each and every Tuesday. This Tuesday is no different. He's the host of Not One But Two podcast, Deep Dive, Dinsick Classic, which he does with Andy Molitor. And, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with the great Jay Croucher. It's Drew Dinsick. @whale_capper on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Drew?
Oh, I'm doing tremendously well. How are you guys this morning?
We are well. I was framing Kirk Cousins last segment, and I know everybody's talking about the money he's made in his career, which is obviously perhaps his finest feat. But the way I think that he's just a unique character is not only has he made the most money of anybody ever, guaranteed besides Aaron Rodgers, but he's managed to do so while being beloved by two fan bases, I think universally, while winning nothing really for either of them, yet having this tantalizing ability to still accumulate stats and have this debate that is created from it, like, yes, we love him. Yes, he makes all this money. Some people think you have to keep him. Both there was Minnesota and Washington fans that thought that, because the alternative is then you go into the quarterback netherworld after that, which was the case for Washington, has been, might be for Minnesota. We'll see. Sam Darnold might start that out. And now Atlanta has him. And Atlanta probably will end up loving Kirk Cousins too, because they'll probably, again, Baker Mayfield and the Bucks will have something to say about this, but the Falcons are the favorite to win the NFC South. Can he win them two or three playoff games to get him to the Super Bowl, though, Drew? Let's just start there.
I would be pretty surprised if they won two playoff games, I guess. The NFC is pretty stacked right now. This is not, if this move happens a couple years ago and Atlanta with that young nucleus of offensive talent has a stable quarterback and they invest in the defense, then, you know, maybe we're talking, they could have been this year's Lions type of success story, but There's just too many good teams in the NFC right now for me to think this moves the needle enough to where winning the South sets you up for, you know, some sort of straightforward path to, you know, toppling the Giants there. And in fact, like just a broader step back in the market, the fact that the Niners are such heavy favorites, you know, or not heavy, but just that they're the presumed favorites for the Super Bowl. When, in my opinion, they're, you know, getting back for them is going to be much tougher than, you know, the Chiefs or, you know, any of the elite teams in the AFC is a suspect proposition. I think the Rams are absolutely a threat to the Niners in the West. I think the what we saw from the Packers in terms of that young nucleus taking a step forward, combined with the Lions, who seem to be going all in, makes two, you know, true blue competitors coming out of the North. And then, of course, you know, there's never really any give up when it comes to Philadelphia and Dallas. Those teams are look to be restocking to a degree. And so I think ultimately, you know, you have six teams who are fighting for, you know, like four spots at the top of the NFC. And I think I would not include Atlanta as one of them, even though Kirk Cousins is headed down there. And I'm going to be probably a cooler on him and the Falcons in the market for until proven otherwise, because of his age and the Achilles injury. And just in general, some of what we saw from him in terms of quality of play to start the season last year felt a little fool's goldish. If you can prove that you are fringe top 10 and show enough upside to kind of convince some front office that you're the answer to getting a top 10 quarterback, then, you know, you're going to make the second most guaranteed money despite having relatively weak playoff success. So it is crazy. The funniest or the most outstanding, kind of Vikings playoff memory in recent history was the, you know, Minneapolis miracle. And neither Kirk Cousins or Justin Jefferson was involved in that. Both guys have moved on. It's maybe more interesting what in the world's going on with Minnesota, because they have such a strong nucleus of offensive talent on that roster. And the Sam Darnold move was a little strange. My assumption is that they're very clearly in the market for a quarterback in round one of the draft, whether it's trade up or take one at where they stand. So Darnold presumably would be either the placeholder while they develop the next young guy, or, you know, in some sort of quarterback competition with a rookie that would be sort of a faux competition. And either way, paying a guy $10 million to do that seems a little silly to me.
Falcons move from 35-1 to 25-1, by the way, in the market to win the Super Bowl. The Saquon deal with the Eagles moves the Eagles from 20-1 to 17-1, or at least that's part of the reason that the Eagles moved shorter to win the Super Bowl. And the Cowboys, by the way, fall back in that process, 14-1 to 16-1, as Saquon goes to a division rival. I'm curious what the move was for you yesterday, if there was one, that moves the needle the most for you, where you were like, okay, that's a thing that is obviously a game changer.
Absolutely nothing. There is the most of what happened yesterday made me just kind of scratch my head and say, okay, well, I'm not sure the brain trust that this particular organization has a vision that I believe in. and people just sort of are shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, until we find the next quarterback that can go toe to toe with Pat Mahomes, we might as well just make some splash signings to try to placate the fan base. Cause free agency rarely does tip the scales in general. This year feels especially, especially unnotable. I would say that the most important move that's happened to this point in the entire process has been Kansas City re-signing Chris Jones to the deal that they did. He's obviously the most important part of that defense by margin, and keeping him intact and happy, you know, is especially considering the highs that you saw from him in their playoff run, I think is pretty important. He's a guy that can flip the switch and, you know, stop the game when you need him to. And that's hugely valuable. So I would say him staying in Kansas City keeps Kansas City pretty clearly at the top of the AFC for me. And that was pretty massive. Otherwise, I'm struggling. I'm looking through the entire list right now, and it's like we're giving big old splash deals to guards, and everybody's trading running backs. Like, these are big time nothing burger moves.
This is what were we talking about with running backs last week, where I made this point about all the running backs? Oh, I was talking about what was it on the context of how there was just a glut of running backs? That quarterbacks, right, where, you know, about the whole Super Bowl, you win a quarterback only with a guy overperforming on a rookie deal, or you go, or if you're in the Hall of Fame, and how part and parcel with that is because also the way the economic structure of quarterbacks is, where you're forced to make these nine-figure deals at a point in their careers where you're not sure if they're going to be Hall of Famers. Dak, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, right? And part and parcel with that is that there's a dearth of quarterbacks that are any good, right? There's only like 8 to 10 of them any good. But running backs, there's such a glut that they're a dime a dozen. It was the most important position when we were kids. It is not at all anymore. And who knows, like, when that will come back. It may with NIL, when guys realize we should probably stick around in college for a while. That will create a artificial dearth in the NFL. But right now, you're right. It's just a running back carousel. And I think your point about Chris Jones' extension being the single most important thing that's happened so far is probably the greatest point I think that can be made right now, because all this other stuff. And some people will disagree, right? Some people will say, well, Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, I don't know. All they have to do is win a couple football games in the playoffs and they could be in the Super Bowl. I'm with you. I don't make that leap.
Yeah, if he had finished his season healthy last year, maybe I'm having a different point of view. But he's coming off an Achilles injury at age 36, guys.
Yep, 36 like, years old your, in August.
Lower your expectations. I don't know what else to tell you. I do like in general what they're doing as far as team building in Atlanta to a degree. And I think, you know, hey, the coach hiring and the offensive coordinator they brought in, like, do those guys have potential to pop? Of course. But I would still, if I were at Atlanta, I would still, you know, if a decent quarterback slides out of round one and is available at the top of round two, and the other quarterback hungry teams have all taken their swings in round one, and you at the eighth pick in round two have a chance to get, I don't know, Bo Nix or Penix or something like that, I would consider it because I think this is a pretty potentially a short term Band-Aid really for Atlanta. And, you know, I guess I also really wonder what's going on otherwise with whether they've hit on any of those players that they've swung on in terms of skill position and they have an aging offensive line. There's warning. There's red flags all over this Atlanta team.
The Cousins Achilles injury. He will be 36 when the season starts. People lost their minds about Aaron Rodgers thinking he had magical medical powers. It's tough at that age. This just in, Rodgers doesn't. Cousins, more realistic about his. Coming back, more with Drew next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? Create a free account today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through the NCAA Championship Week leading up to Selection Sunday. That's this week. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. That's a VSiN Pro free preview. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/champweek and get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's this Sunday. That's VSiN.com/champweek. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Drew Dinsick from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast, kind enough to join us for a second segment. Whale_Capper. I got a bunch to get to here with you, Drew. So let's try to do these in nugget fashion. Last thing on the NFL. Move that made you scratch your head the most was?
I'm going to say it, the Dolphins letting Christian Wilkins walk out the door. I thought that was strange. When you hit on a player like that and you have that homegrown talent and he's pretty clearly your defensive leader in the locker room, it's surprising to see that kind of little interest in re-signing a player of that caliber. Similarly, they lose guard Robert Hunt. And, you know, if you're just going to kind of let your trenches deteriorate, that's a problem. And then it kind of telegraphs that they're probably in late stages of some sort of market resetting deal with Tua at the quarterback position. And I mean, they're in the toughest spot of all, because like, if you've seen what you've seen from Tua through, you know, these last three seasons, which has been inconsistent at best and just in general regression over the balance of the season, I don't know how you're making a bet to give him a market resetting contract at the quarterback position and expecting to build a competitive team around him. And so there's definitely a potential for the Florida kind of trapdoor to open under the Dolphins. Yeah, that's the team to watch from the what are they up to kind of
situation. That's exactly what I was just talking about with the economic cruelty of the NFL, right? Like, throw him into the Jared Goff, yeah. Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott camp of now you got to commit nine figures to the guy. You doing it or not? And by and large, they do, because they're worried that the alternative is nothingness. But will that win you a Super Bowl? Totally different story. All right, NCAA March Madness. We don't usually talk college basketball with you. Just give folks an idea of what you do, how you just are waiting for the bracket. You're waiting to see how things shake out, and then you pounce. Is that generally what you do?
Yeah, I accumulate some stuff over the balance of the season. I don't know. Last year was a pretty straightforward look at UConn because they were so clearly the number one team heading into the season and drifted aggressively in January. And you're like watching them come figure it out, playing incredibly well in February into March. And that was a pretty straightforward, long price grab it. They ultimately got seeded in a super competitive West last year, if I remember correctly. They got Gonzaga and Kansas, a bunch of really tough teams in that. UCLA might have been there. Anyway, it was a tough draw for them, and threw a little cold water on them. But, I tend to look for teams that are, you know, have a relatively high preseason prior that are kind of starting to play to their form. And I look to bet against teams that are highly priced in market that have a fundamental flaw. And the flaw is poor at creating defensive turnovers. The nugget for why that matters is in a one and done situation, if you run up against a team that is shooting hot and you are at a deficit, or you know, if you're on upset alert in the second half of a game, let's just use Purdue as an example from last year. If you are, your back is against the wall and you must create additional possessions to close a gap, then you have to be able to create defensive turnovers. And for, you know, year in, year out, the highly seeded teams that tend to wobble early in the competition are teams that have the same exact flaw. If you're not in the top 100 in terms of ability to create defensive turnovers, then I'm not interested in backing you. And if you're in like the bottom 100, which a couple of teams here that are expected to do well are, then I am expecting you to potentially go out early if you just run into the wrong team on the wrong day that's shooting well. So that's kind of the only macro angle that I look at. I almost don't even want to give away the ghost on this because it was such a money printer last year. But they use a specific ball in the tournament that is slippery. And some of the conference tournaments use this ball. Other conference tournaments do not. And you can particularly look at games where neither team that is playing has used the slippery ball, and the first half unders on those hit at like 75% or 80% last year. So I'm going to go back to the wall this year.
Interesting. There it is. Hope people caught that. Drew reluctantly coughing that one up. All right. Tennis. Novak Djokovic loses to 20-year-old Italian Luca Nardi. Luca Nardi had just lost at the 462nd player in the world a few weeks back. Djokovic also had given up a set to Alexander Vukic the match before. Is this the beginning of the Novak age curve?
I think you're in the stage two of the Novak age curve. Stage one was that weird no-show against Sinner at the semifinals of the Australian Open where he never loses.
Yeah,
this is
true.
But I will say like that, what happened at Australia, it was more signal than this. He has had some absolute shockers at Indian Wells in the past. I don't have the list in front of me, but off the top of my head, didn't he lose to Toro Daniel like in straights here one year? Like he doesn't really seem to take this tournament especially seriously. And I think in general, he's you know, he has eyes to try to start a peak to, you know, peak as you get closer. I think his schedule, he is trying to peak Rome, RG, and then through Wimbledon. Like that's where he wants to be playing his best tennis. And I think he's very realistically looking at his ability to maintain a high level for a long time and knows that it's just not likely. And so, you know, he looked a little lost, a little like he was trying to ready to mail it in, not really willing to fight through it. You know, he showed you a little bit in the second set that he was, you know, like, I want to win this, but, you know, ultimately it's the choice of kind of capitulating to Nardi versus like actually giving, you know, kind of mental real estate to the likes of a Rude or a Medvedev or a Rune, or, you know, more mental real estate to a Sinner or Alcaraz. Like there's downside in fighting through Nardi and getting to the later stages and ultimately like just losing with your best effort against one of the top players on tour right now. And so I think, did he pull the eject, you know, accord? Yes. And I think it was probably strategic, and I think he could probably do it again in Miami, and we may see him do it in Monte Carlo. We may see him do it, you know, a couple more times before, ultimately he buckles down in Rome. So I guess, you know, best case scenario, like just watch for his prices to start to drift, and then pounce on Rome, and then just be ready for him to show up, like full on robot mode in Wimbledon to try to retake that title. And at that point, I think everything else that he gets in his career is going to be gravy.
Robot mode. Taro Daniel beat him in the round of 64 at Indian Wells back in 2018, just for thoroughness. All right.
And that was a lopsided beating. Like, that was not even like a, how did that happen? Like, that was like, oh no, that was a clean kill.
It was a 3-setter, but it was 6-1 in the final set. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay. Any tennis plays today?
I liked that a lot actually today. Let me see. Kerber, I think, should be favored over Woz. That one's the one that stands out the most aggressively. I think there's truth to the rumor that Woz is dealing with an injury, and I guess just tamper your expectations that there's not a walkover withdrawal there. I think Pavlyuchenkova should be a bigger favorite over Kostyuk. I think Potapova should be a favorite over Paolini. So I like two dogs and one favorite on the women's side. And then on the men's side, I have my rating on Sinner right now is outrageous. I have him as the best player in the world, and it's not close. I don't know that he'll get a straight set win over Shelton today. Shelton's got a pretty competitive serve, and he plays better in the U.S. than he does elsewhere. But I do think Sinner is still underpriced to win the tournament. I haven't seen enough out of Alcaraz to tell you he's going to even get through, the quarterfinal, because both Zverev and Demonauer are playing pretty good tennis right now. Sinner is going to cruise through whoever wins that Tsitsipas-Laheka match, and I give Giri a decent chance at a plus money price there. So on the men's side, if you made me only take one, I would take the check against the Greek Tsitsipas.
All right, I got a tennis play coming up. It's none of those. I don't believe Drew even mentioned it. Okay, last thing, we got 30 seconds. 7 games in the NBA tonight. What do you like?
This is a really tough card. NBA betting has been a little sketchy in March so far. The two that stood out for me, I am expecting Boston to pull the plug on a number of key starters, and I think this -7 is going to turn into a -3, -3.5, maybe even -2.5. So I played the Utah plus the points there. I think maybe first half is an even better look. I laid the 6 with the New York Knicks against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay.
That one's a little bit more complicated, but I just think Knicks with OG back are a different beast, and not afraid of Tyrese Maxey.
All right. Instant regret about giving up the Wilson basketball thing, or are you okay with it?
No, not at all.
Just checking.
It takes work. Like, that one's not, that's not free money. Like, you got to figure it out.
All right. Drew Dinsick, everybody. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. More NFL on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, always appreciate the tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Rick Ollier, first of all, you know what my main feed is filled by? Sean Patrick Griffin. Do you know who that is? Sean Patrick Griffin is the author. Friend of mine. I did a podcast with him in 2011. He wrote the book on the Tim Donaghy betting scandal.
Oh, okay.
Gaming the game back in the day, back in the early part of the 2010s. I had him on the podcast, did an interview with him. I've been friends with him ever since. Apparently, they're putting Donaghy on some panel with some like guys that this is some educational panel, and Sean Patrick Griffin is just losing his mind on Twitter.
Oh, man.
Screaming on Rick Olier. This goes without saying, but Eckler being successful with the Commodores on a one-year deal would only rank second on the list of successful one-year deals. The title holder for the one-year deals, of course, Gil Alexander at the Country Station. Hee-haw. It's very true. I don't know if we characterize that as successful, but yes.
Was that only a one-year deal? That was 1 year?
Oh, totally one-year deal. co-host made it 8 months. Silent Mike D. Still hurting from Cousins' miracle win against New Orleans in the playoffs a few years ago. We'll never forget him down in the bayou. A Joe named Jim. Falcons balked at giving Lamar Jackson 4 years, $200 million at the age of 26 yep. last offseason to checks notes. Sign a 36-year-old Cousins coming off an Achilles tear to $180 million a year later. Collude much, NFL? So, Cousins, one playoff win requiring a miracle. Needle stays put, Atlanta. I'm with you. Everything you just said at Joe Namath.
Saw a lot of those going around yesterday. Again, it's just the Deshaun Watson money carryover the past two years now. Of like, hey, we got this money for a quarterback. What are we doing?
Well, he's talking about Lamar. I mean,
no, I know. Yeah. But that was last season when they had the chance to do that. When they were, when the conversations was going on about Watson.
Lamar to Atlanta was such a done deal that you, what was it, Deshaun to
Watson?
It was Watson that you guys made your bets.
Yeah. That's what, like, Atlanta's had this cash. Like, they've had this cash ready to go for a quarterback.
And then Cleveland said, hey, how about all 253 million of these guaranteed?
Yeah, there was a lot of those tweets going around about Lamar yesterday, though, where it was like, so you decided to pass on this last year?
And I just want to make that Achilles point one more time because we're going to commercial. Aaron Rodgers got everybody so out of their minds and all these quack doctors on Twitter, like, agreeing with him because they wanted clicks. Like, oh, yeah, he could come back this year. No! Again, as someone who had it in their 20s and someone who had it 20 years later. It's one thing to have it as a young man. The older you get, the tougher it is. And so these guys, you just can't come back from that injury.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Rodgers was trying to condition everybody into thinking that he was Superman and could. Kirk Cousins handled it with grace, didn't make it about himself, didn't make the Vikings about him when he was recovering from the injury, unlike Rodgers. We'll see. 36 years old. He will have had time to recover, though. But still 36 years old coming off the Achilles.
By the time, by season opener?
Well, I mean, Kirk Cousins is not exactly a mobile quarterback to begin with.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So it's like, that's not his game. It's not really his game. Will he be enough to, move around in the pocket? Sure. Sure, absolutely. By the way.
Interesting comments by Drew on Atlanta.
Well, first of all, I think his Chris Jones comment is the most salient, which I do think that's the biggest thing that's happened so far. Mm-hmm. Like, the Chiefs just retaining Chris Jones is huge.
Yeah. No, it probably is. Probably is the biggest thing that's happened so far.
The Wilkins comment, I think, was fascinating also because, again, if you watched not only the Dolphins and know how key of a cog Christian Wilkins was to that defense, but if you watch something like the in-season Hard Knocks, Wilkins is like a major part of that locker room also. Like a big personality in the locker room, beloved by his teammates. And Drew connecting the dots between him and some other moves the Dolphins are making to, this is a clear signal that they are setting up to have the room to give a pile of cash to Tua. Again, with that cruel economic structure of, well, it's coming up. You got to make a decision.
Yeah.
You're gonna throw the kitchen sink at this dude. He's going to be your quarterback forever. Or are you going to move along? And it looks like they're going to keep him.
They have to. It's just we talk about it often. But like some of these teams, like, you don't have a choice. I don't think the Dolphins have a choice.
This is why they always keep him. This is why the Cowboys did it for Dak. This is why, right? Even though Jared's going to be like, oh, he's a guy. No, because the alternative is scarier.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And it's not just that in a vacuum, right? I'm glad you picked the Cowboys because I think those two teams are perfect examples of look how much you've built around them. So it's what makes Kirk Cousins leaving Minnesota tough, right? For Vikings fans out there, it's. Man, you had a guy that we at least thought could get the job done. Where are you going to be able to, you know, start over at is a scary thought. And then what does it cause the rest of these guys to, you know, like a Justin Jefferson to rethink his time there?
And the point we were making yesterday, so that Drew said about the Vikings. So, okay, Sam Darnold is the stopgap. They're probably going to try to get one of these six quarterbacks mm-hmm. that are at the top of the NFL draft. Obviously, talking, you know, the group of Caleb Drake May and Jaden Daniels, probably not one of those three, but of the other three, the McCarthy, Penix, Nix group. But as we talked about at length yesterday when I went through the sordid history of quarterbacks drafted in the NFL, like that's even a bigger crapshoot to all of this. So that's why this is the NFL talent evaluation is the most inexact science you will ever find.
Well, and, you know, using those words, Sam Darnold, I feel like over the past 2 years has become the ultimate like split between what's the public narrative and what do we all think as football fans about him? And then seemingly these NFL front offices that still think there's a lot of talent there.
Do you remember there was a point?
They're willing to give him chances.
Do you remember there was a point last yes. offseason where the Niners were like, "He's the dude.
He's the dude."
Remember that?
Yes, that was a thing last offseason.
By the way, you bring up we brought up the Cowboys. Oh, go ahead.
I think Drew's. If the Vikings were able to pull off something like, wait, okay, maybe this is Sam Darnold for a year, and then you got a Michael Penix Jr. or something. I don't know about you, Gil, but that is still like the Michael Penix Jr. There's still not a quarterback in this draft I've seen throw the ball better than
I
that
love
guy.
His arm. I love you know him. I mean? I love how he throws the football. I know.
I know he's got injury history. I know he's older. I know all that stuff. But, like, I think there's going to be a team at the end of the first round that could score on him.
Oh, sure. But none of us know anything.
No.
In the end, right? We don't know. It all depends where you end up, who your coaches are. That's the thing. Like, that's the one thing about, you know, baseball is a individual sport disguised as a team sport.
Right.
If you can hit, you can hit. If you can pitch, you can pitch. Right. Other sports are individual sports. Football is the one. And basketball, like talent. It's I don't care who your coach is. If you're Michael Jordan,
right,
if you have
exactly.
amazing
yep.
talent,
yep.
you're Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, pick
it
your
overwhelms.
Player. It
yeah.
overwhelms. Football, you are and will never know the alternative because it doesn't exist in our universe. But if this quarterback had ended up in this system with consistent coaching, what's my line? If Peyton Manning had ended up being drafted by Washington, would he have become Peyton Manning? He probably would have been decent, but not with he had a different coordinator every year. By the way, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, 1 year, $7 million is now official. So Aaron Jones, the spite signing after the Packers did him dirty, let everybody else sign running backs and then cut him. By the way, that's what the Bengals did with Joe Mixon. The Bengals end up releasing Joe Mixon and adding Zach Moss while the Vikings end up with Aaron Jones after the Packers said, we don't really want Aaron Jones, the heart and soul of this team. We'll take Josh Jacobs.
I can't wait to see Josh Jacobs have a mess season next year and Aaron Jones be awesome.
Me too.
Like, I know we're talking, there's like a 3-year age difference there, 4-year age difference.
Well, that's all it is,
it's
right?
I know, I'm sure it's nothing personal from the Packers, but man, for a guy who's
heart
felt like,
soul.
Yeah, heart and soul
heart
of that
soul.
Offense. I mean, I was banging the drum all last year. It's like when he was out, that team was different. When he came back, that team was different and better.
I'm just looking for some odds that moved here that induce you to make a bet, that trigger a bet from you.
Yeah.
The NFC East, by the way, we just talked about Saquon going to Philly, Bryce Huff going to Philly. Again, I joked earlier, it's like, do they ever have a salary cap? They get anybody they want. Eagles, that much shorter, plus 135. Cowboys, just a tickle. Cowboys are still the short shot, plus 120. Eagles are plus 135. Commodes, 8-1. Giants, 10-1. Is there anything there that you would bet right now? Do you feel better about the Eagles now? Would you bet them to win the division? I'm just looking for any of these moves that trigger something.
Those are flipped, by the way. Eagles plus 120, Cowboys plus 135. Eagles have passed the Cowboys as the favorites in this division. I think the best way to frame it for you and I are, do you and I regret not already having an Eagles and a Falcons bet in our account for their division? Because it's moved.
No, I don't.
Okay, I mean, I don't either. I don't regret.
For the Eagles, certainly not.
Okay.
Like, I don't think it's their division. Like I said, if the commodes ended up hitting somehow on a quarterback that ended up being great, this is the division that everybody, a new team wins it every year.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons, I guess. But like if Tampa Bay or New Orleans, we haven't mentioned New Orleans yet. If one of those teams won the division, would you be that shocked?
It's the other one I was going to bring up. Think about the odds change. We'll look at them on the other side. But like where they were, like even money starting last season. And now they're like 4-1?
Plus 340 at DraftKings. The Saints. Dan Le Batard next on the DK Network. We'll come back. College basketball with Kai McKeon. Oh, let the conferences commence. The big ones next.